sixth chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 16 and 17, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for your goodness, and Lord, we want to thank you especially for the word of God tonight. Thank you, God, for leaving it for us, preserved, Lord, and Lord, just as you wished it to be, and we thank you for it. It's true. Everything you say is correct and right, and Lord, we know it's absolute, and I thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege of preaching thy word tonight. Once again, we ask you to bless the Master's Clubs, Lord, to help us here in this service, that we will honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse number 16, he talks about the shield of faith. This is another one of the pieces of armor that God told us to put on. He said, take you all the whole armor of God. Put the whole armor on. And this is just another one of those pieces. There's no doubt whatsoever as we've studied through these verses. Verse number 11, he talks about the wiles of the devil. There's no doubt about why we need the armor. No doubt about it whatsoever. If you look in verse number 12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need the armor. We've got to have the armor. God says we've got to have it. We've got to put it on. We've got to have it. And he says also in verse 16, of course, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We have got to have the armor. God said to put it on, and so we've got to have it. And notice in verse 16, he says, above all, and there he's talking about, of course, he says, this is very, very important. The shield of faith that we're going to be dealing with tonight is very, very important. He said, put it on. In addition to these other pieces that I've told you about, he said, well, then you also take on the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. You're going to need that, he says. Now, the last three things that we had talked about, and I might just kind of cover those real quickly. In verse number 14, he said, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. He said about, you have your loins girt about with truth, he said, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you've got the truth girded about you. You've got the breastplate of righteousness on. Then he says in verse number 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember last week we talked about that. You get your feet shod where you can stand securely and not slip and slide and fall all over the place, but you've got a secure footing. You're standing on the word of God. You're standing on the right things, the right doctrines, all those things, and you're on sure footing. And now he says, and you notice there he talked about having, having these things. In other words, or taking. He talked about those three. He talked about taking, having them. But in the next ones, he said, take them up. In other words, if you'll notice in verse number 15, or 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And he says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In other words, let me just kind of give you a little illustration about this. You're walking through life. Now, you've got on truth. Got on the Bible, the Word of God. That's the truth. That's your doctrine. That's it, you see. You got the Word of God on. And he said you got the breastplate of righteousness. Remember, it's God's righteousness. Remember that? It's God's righteousness. You're walking through life. You're not depending on your righteousness. It's God's righteousness that you're depending on. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're on security, good ground. You're secure in your stand. And what you're standing on, you say. Now he's talking about, you know, this is walking through life. You're just going through life. You've got all this protection for you. But he also then says there's a time when you've got to put on some other things. You've got to pick up the shield. And I look at that and I say that, yes, we're walking through life. And all at once, he talks about these fiery darts. And we'll talk about those for a few moments. He doesn't just say they're darts. He says they're fiery darts. All at once, you're coming through life and God says you better get that shield up because there's some fiery darts coming. And they're fiery darts. They're just not darts where the breastplate of righteousness, you hit against it and bounce off. But he said these are fiery darts. If they hit you, that stuff that they coated that with, and they wrapped kind of a burning material around, like the arrow or whatever it was, a spear or whatever it was. They'd wrap that around, and they'd dip it a lot of times in some kind of oil or something like that, and then they'd light it. And if that thing hits you, I mean, it could spread, it could burn you. So he says you're going to need a shield of faith. You need something up there to ward off those fiery darts. And we're going to talk about those fiery darts tonight. You and I need that. I'm not going to talk about those tonight, but we need on the helmet of salvation. And we need the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. We need those things, but we need this shield to ward off these fiery darts that old Satan lets go at us. And we'll, as I say, be talking about those basically tonight. Now, I read a little bit up on the shields. I don't know a whole lot about the shields of that day, but the Roman army, and I think that's kind of what he's referring to. He's giving us a picture of a soldier, and he's got all these armor and all these things. But he said those shields a lot of time could be anywhere from around 4 foot high. They was not just a little thing to stay there. They'd be up to around 4 foot high, sometimes about 2.5 foot wide, you know. I don't know what I would need, but a 2.5 foot, anyway, wide one. And about 4 foot high, you know, and you lift that up, you'd cover your body, you see. It protects you with all these armor, these fiery darts that's coming at you, you see. And they ward them off. A lot of times they was curved a little bit. I don't know all of them was. Don't know those things, but I read that some of them was kind of, you know, curved outward, so it would deflect it off to the side when the arrows come or the fiery darts come. They'd deflect them off the side. A lot of times they was made of wood, they tell me, and then they had a metal coating on the outside. Didn't have aluminum like we have light metal. See, they had this metal, though, on the outside, and a lot of times it's made from wood on the inside, but this metal on the outside would ward off this fiery darts, you see. And they used to use that. They used to light arrows, and they'd fire them at them, you know, and so these would ward them off. So he's telling us that there's fiery darts that the wicked one, old Satan, shoots at us, and we need something to ward them off. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, they used to do something like that. And I'm going to kind of use an illustration. And I think probably in every war, probably they have done this. But I remember in the Second World War, you know, when they went in and took some of these beaches. You took these beaches, you know, before they went in, or the main force went in, they sent bomber after bomber after bomber after bomber into these places, into these beaches, dropping bombs and artillery shells and everything else they could hit that beach with before the main force went in. And you remember Desert Storm? Remember what happened to Desert Storm? They bombed that place for how many days? I don't remember. But they bombed it and bombed it and bombed it and bombed it and bombed it before ever our forces ever went in. And they had that thing just softened up. And I'm sure they did this in Vietnam and in Korean War and other places when soldiers was getting ready to move into an area. I'm sure they tried to soften that area up. That's one of the ways they do in war. I don't know all about it, but I know they do that. And whether we realize it or not, what is happening is Satan, with his fiery darts, is trying to soften you up. He's trying to hurt you, get you ready for the main onslaught. And that's what we're going to deal with. It comes at us all the time, these fiery darts. And when I say all the time, I mean they'll come at different times. But folks, listen, he sends them at us. And they send from all areas, all fronts, these fiery darts he sends to us. And notice in verse 16 what he says at the end of, for the fiery darts of the wicked. He says the fiery darts of the wicked, or we could say the wicked one. Now, who's behind all this? Who's sending these fiery darts at us? Well, it's old Satan. He's the wicked one. And he may be using all these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and all these things, but he's sending those fiery darts at you and I. And I want again to stress the fact he is not just some force out there in the universe. He is a being. He is a person. And I'm saying to you, you need to understand, I need to understand, that when our Lord Jesus Christ faced him there in the wilderness, he was not just facing some spiritual force somewhere. It was a being. He's real. And he hates us. Do anything he can to destroy us. And he's going to send those old fiery darts at us. So you see, Those times when he sends those fiery darts, they can be very, very serious time. Oh, Satan attacks us in sometimes in a very unusual and kind of scary, fiery way. There's times, folks, that you just kind of go on in life and everything seems to be all right. You're just walking along. All at once, it seems it just comes from everywhere. I don't know whether you've been there or not, but I have. Haven't you been there when it just seems like everything is just coming at you from all areas, you know? And so he sends those old fiery darts. I have read about God's saints, many of God's saints. And if you read their history and you read what they tell about their life, it's not all great victories. You know, the missionary that comes in and tells you all of the victories and doesn't tell you about some of the problems they have is not telling us truthful. Because there isn't a missionary that doesn't go over there anywhere they go that had to face the fiery darts of old Satan. I think one of the reasons I appreciate Don Carney so much. I mean, Don Carney come in here and he just told us. He told us the bad, when I say the bad things, the hard things that happened, the difficult things that happened, some of the almost seemingly like defeats they had in their life, but he told us about the victories too. And that's the way it is in life. You know, me and you want to tell somebody something. We want to talk about our victories. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to sit around and talk about the hard times all the time. But let me tell you, we all have them. If you be honest, everybody has them. And oh, Satan sends those fiery darts at us. If you have read Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, well, I'm going to tell you, he talked a lot about oh, Satan's attacks and all these kind of things. You remember when we talked about, who was it, Martin Luther? Martin Luther, you know, felt the presence of Satan in his room so much one day that he took up an ink pot full of ink and threw it at him. He said his presence was so real, he was tired of him on him all the time, and he just felt so real, he just picked it up and just threw it at him. I mean, you know, what I'm saying is there's sometimes, oh, Satan is so real and he's powerful. We need to understand that he hates you and I as a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about defeat here. I'm not talking about that he's going to win. I'm not talking about that, but I am telling you he's going to attack. We've got the victory in Jesus Christ, but I'm just simply saying to you folks, he is going to attack, or God wouldn't told us to put on this or pick up this shield to ward off these fiery darts of the wicked one. And so those attacks are going to come. Well, it's not just these great saints of God that we read about. You and I know somewhat of this. If you'll think about it, if you look back over your life, you'll know that the same things has happened to you and I. Maybe not in such a great degree, but it's there. And I'm going to give you some things that maybe will help you. And sometimes we don't want to admit to these things, but you listen to me for a minute. One of the greatest fiery darts that Satan sends to you and I is these evil thoughts. Now, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not saying, oh, well, yeah, I don't want everybody to say, yeah, I had evil thoughts. But listen to me, there's not a person in this room that had evil thoughts. Not one. That's one of his greatest tools. Oh, Satan sends evil thoughts our way, and he does that, and it just seems like it just comes out of nowhere. You know, there was a time here a while back that I woke up on a morning, it was on a Sunday morning, and I'm telling you, it just seemed like, I mean, I hadn't even had time to get my eyes open. It seemed like he bombarded me. He wanted to just get my mind somewhere else. I mean, he just bombarded me with things. Where's them coming from? Them's the old wicked fiery darts that he sends our way. And if you'll be honest tonight, you don't even have to shake your head, but if you'll be honest, you've been there. Because he sends those fiery darts and those evil thoughts and sometimes even blasphemous thoughts comes into our mind when it shouldn't. Now, there's a way to protect against those things, certainly this shield of faith. But I'm just saying to you, be careful. He's always trying to shoot something at us. We oughtn't to be satisfied in letting them hit us and letting them stay there. It's not something that we ought to let dwell in our hearts and our minds, but he sends them, though, seemingly just out of nowhere. You wasn't even thinking about anything, and all at once, bang, he sends you a fiery dart, and here it comes. You be honest, you'll say, Brother Ross, I've been there. Now listen, what does God do? Well, I want to take you over to the book of Philippians. We're certainly close to it there, and next book over in Philippians, the fourth chapter. And you know, when this happens, again, you know, I can't read your mind. I haven't been in your life. I've been in mine. But I can say probably, more than likely, what I'm going to say to you is true. Whenever those fiery darts come and those kind of wrong thoughts or whatever it might be comes our way, all at once we begin to wonder and doubt, and we say, my goodness sakes, how could a thought like that get in my heart? I must be away from God. Since sometimes we might even say, I am not even saved, or I'm away from God so far, and all at once he's got us down, and he's just pushing our nose in the ground. That's those little fiery darts. And I'm telling you what he's trying to do. He's trying to soften you up for the real charge. He's sending the bombers over. He wants to soften you up. And I'm just saying to you, we've got to be careful. We've got to be sure that that old shield of faith is up. Look at Philippians 4, and of course, familiar verses, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You just put that shield of faith up and tell him, I'm going to think upon the good things. I'm not going to allow you to destroy my mind and hurt my mind and hurt my testimony. I'm not going to allow you to do that. I'm going to think upon the good things. I'm going to think on the good report. And I'm going to think on those things that I've learned and received and that I've heard, you see, and you've seen in me, he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, I want God's peace back. I don't want that mess in my mind. Amen. I'm just simply saying to you folks that there's not a person here that hasn't had those fiery darts come your way. Do you ever all at once just start thinking a bad thought about someone that you don't really care too much about? You don't care much about them, so all at once, you just start thinking bad things about them. You think, where does that come from? Oh, Satan likes you doing that. He enjoys that. He wants you to think those bad things instead of the good things. You see, but God wants us to think upon the good things, the good report, the good things. You keep that in your mind. Did you ever stop and think, in all seriousness, it's the thing that I think everybody has to battle. But you ever stop and think of how much time we spent on the negative instead of the positive? Do you know the people, now listen to me, the people whom we think negative things about, did you know also they have positive things? Why aren't we thinking about the positive things that they have done? Or that they are, instead of the negative? Well, I'll tell you why. It's old Satan's darts. See, he wants you to think upon the negative. He doesn't want you to think upon the positive and the good things and the right things, the good report and all those things, things that are honest and all those things. See, he doesn't want that, you see. Now, let me ask you another question that might help you. You ever been reading the Bible and all at once your mind just won't stay with the Bible? Have you ever thought wrong thoughts while you was reading the Bible? You don't have to say a word. Do you ever have that trouble reading the newspaper? Yeah. You sit and think about it. You say, no, I don't have any trouble reading the newspaper. I can read the paper. Try picking up the Bible and reading it. Uh-huh. Where does that come from? The fiery darts of Satan. Do you hear me? You see, there's not a person in here that hasn't had that problem. You can't concentrate on the Bible. Can't concentrate on what you're reading. Now, I'm not saying there isn't time we get sleepy reading the newspaper, we get sleepy reading the book. I understand that, but I want to tell you, you pick that Bible up and old Satan do everything he can to make you sleepy. Get your mind off somewhere else instead of what you're reading. You read and you say, what did I read? Man, I don't even remember what I read. Do you have any trouble when you pray? Do you ever have any trouble? I mean, you're getting down on your knees. I mean, you're getting with it. You're getting down talking to God, and isn't long you're thinking about other things instead of prayer. You ever been there? I'm just telling you, I have. And I have to shake myself and I say, what am I doing? Where does that come from? You think that comes from God? Of course it doesn't. We know where it comes from. He doesn't want you praying. He wants to interrupt your prayer. He doesn't want you talking to God who can help you and can help others. You see, that's old Satan doing those things. And I'm not even talking about permanent things here that stay in your mind. If you've got something that just keeps staying in your mind and it's a wrong kind of thought and you just build on it, you need to get it spiritually taken care of. Because that's where you need to stop it. You don't have to let that old, you don't let that need to let that bird that flies over your head fly, build a nest in your hair. There's going to be thoughts that come your way, but you don't have to build on them. So you put them away, get back to thinking what is right and proper things, you see. When you just build on them, then you need to stop and say, I got a spiritual problem. I need to get this taken care of. But when those old fiery darts come your way, you need a shield of faith that just boinks them right off. I mean, just deflects them away, you see. And that's what God is talking about here, you see. And then sometimes we'll think, you know what? I don't know whether you've ever thought this, but I got a feeling you probably have. You probably think, you know what? These things happen to me, and I can't read my Bible at times, and I think about other things, and I pray, and here I am thinking about something else, and once in a while an evil thought will come through my mind. I don't think anybody else has that trouble. I wonder what's the matter with me. Can I tell you something? You're wrong. Other folk do have that trouble. I'm not okaying it. I'm saying, did you know other folk have that trouble too? Did you know you're not alone? What Satan wants you to think is you are alone. You're wicked and you're no good and there's no help for you whatsoever. But did you know there is? You know that? There is help. God loves you. God cares about you. You understand what I'm saying? You see, what we've got to do is ward those old things off. You know, wicked imaginations come into our mind. Desires and wrong things come into our mind sometimes. We got to ward them off immediately with a shield of faith. See, you got to get rid of those. I want to show you over in 1 Peter. The fourth chapter of 1 Peter. Verse number 11 says, If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now listen to what he says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if we be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is an evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. In other words, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. What I'm simply saying is there's fiery trials, not just all the things that I've talked about here, but there's fiery trials that's going to come to the Christian. It's our lot in life. It's the way it is. You're going to go through fiery trials in your Christian life. It isn't going to be any different. And God says, don't think it's strange concerning those fiery trials, because that is your lot in life. That's the way it's going to be. Satan is doing everything he can to hurt you, destroy you, to hurt your testimony, and to stop you as a Christian. Let me say to you, most Christians today, I say most Christians today are stopped dead in their tracks. Satan effectively has stopped them from doing anything for God that they ought to be doing. Got their minds on so many other things. I didn't say all Christians. I said many, many Christians are that away. They're just stopped dead in their tracks. And Satan's got them diverted over to doing other things, thinking about other things, and being something else they shouldn't be. And he's got them diverted, and they're not going to do much for God. You're not going to do much for God in a backslidden condition. Do you hear me? You're just not going to do a whole lot for God, and that's exactly where Satan wants you. You're saved. You can't do a thing. He can't do a thing about that. But he wants you to be diverted on other things and keep you down where you won't do anything for the Lord, you see. And we begin to doubt about all other kinds of things. We begin to doubt about our jobs, about our family, about this and that. And all things come up on us, and we get to worrying about this and that and fretting. And Satan's got you and I right where he wants us. Do not we have a great God? Do not we have a God that can provide all things for us? Now, folks, listen. I know there's tough times. There's fiery trials. I know all about that. But we have a God who provides, who takes care of us, you see. He's promised to do that, you see. Now, so what are we supposed to do with all of these fiery trials? Well, we're to pick up the shield of faith. God says, take that shield of faith, above all, take the shield of faith and ward off all these fiery darts of the wicked. See, what it's designed to do is to ward them off, to divert them from you so that you won't get stung, you won't get burnt with them, you see. Let me give you something from God's Word. 1 Peter 5th chapter, you don't have to turn there if you want to, you can, but let me read it to you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, hear who he is, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now you've got an adversary, and he's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But listen, immediately right after that, here's what God says. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. How do we ward them off? How do we resist? Steadfast in the faith, you see. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 4th verse, here's what he said. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I'm going to deal with this thing on faith for a few moments because you want to look out. You want to be careful, but that's what he said. Here's the victory. Here's how you can win, even our faith, you see. So what he's telling us to do is with that shield of faith is to quickly apply what you believe, what you know the Bible says, what's the promises of God, and apply them as an answer to what Satan is hurling at you. What do you believe? Pick it up. Pick that shield of faith up. He'll hurl all kinds of things at you, you see, and you need to just pick it up. Now let me give you something about faith. Faith never points to itself. I'm going to explain myself, but it's a very, very important point. Faith never points to itself. In other words, faith never points to faith. It always, listen to this, it always points to the object of our faith. And there's a big difference. Have you ever heard anybody, have you ever said to yourself, wait a minute, I got faith. I've heard so many people say, well, I got faith in God. I got faith in God. But they're bragging on their faith. And it isn't your faith that needs to be bragged on. It's the object of your faith. That's what's going to matter. Not your faith, but the object of your faith. And I want to show you. And in fact, I think it's very dangerous. I think it's very dangerous to walk around talking about our faith. I've went to doors. You've went to doors too. But, you know, we have these experiences. You go to these doors and knock on the door. You're not down on these people, but they say some things that are just silly at times. They don't realize it. They don't understand what they're saying, but I've had so many people say, well, I got faith. I got faith in God. I love God. Now listen to me. I think they mean exactly what they're saying, but they don't love God. You say, well, Brother Ross, how can you say that? Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, you'll keep his commandments. And here you are sitting at home, never been to church in 20 years, and you tell me you love God? No, but they think they love God. It's a false love. I don't know what the relationship with God is, but they don't love him as their God, as their Savior. They don't love him. Not like they ought to love him, or they'd be keeping his commandments. And when we talk about, I got faith, be careful, because it's not just your faith, it's the object of your faith. Let me show you an example of that over in Romans, the 4th chapter. You remember, I've said it before, and you've probably heard it, and maybe you're tired of hearing it, but you hear young man that went out on the ice, and it was about that thick, and he said, I have faith that ice will hold me up. He got out there, and he went right straight down through. Another man went out 3 or 4 days later, and the ice was that thick, and he said, I have faith that ice will hold me up. And he went out there, and sure enough, it did. You know what the difference was? Was the difference between neither one of them, or that only one of them had faith? No, they both had faith. It was the object of their faith. You see, the object of your faith must be able to do what your faith demands. The object of your faith must be Jesus Christ, because only he alone can give you salvation, forgive your sins. None other can. Any other thing is thin ice. It'll fall through. In the book of Romans, 4th chapter, verse number 18, says, who against hope, now we're talking about Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, listen to this, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Talked about the being not weak in faith. You notice what he didn't trust in? Didn't trust in his own body. Didn't trust in Sarah's body. He wasn't trusting in faith in himself. Now listen to what he says. But he says, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, where was his faith at? His faith, his object of his faith was God. It wasn't himself. It wasn't his wife, Sarah. It was in God. God could do everything that needed to be done. And he said, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Who? Abraham? No, God. God was able to perform it, you see. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness, you see. It's what the object of your faith is in, you see. And that's what's so important that we get a hold of that and understand that. That's why we're living in a world today, and you see all these books out there. They're self-help books. They're all over the bookstores. They're self-esteem books to build the self-esteem of a man, of an individual, and that's absolutely unscriptural. See, we're told that you just need your esteem build up. No, we don't. We need our God esteem build up. We need our trust in God build up, not our esteem, because when we build our esteem, we're building us. But when we build what God has done for us, amen, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Amen? You see, and so these self-help books, and they want you to read them, and they want you to believe them, and they're sold by the millions of trying to build your self-esteem. You don't need your self-esteem build up. What you need is realize how much God loves you and what God has done for you. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to feel like a pretty important person. Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. Amen? Died there for you. Buried, rose again for you. Are you getting your shoulders up? Feeling pretty good? Aren't you important? Amen. No, I'm not talking about you important. I'm talking about you're important because God loved you. You see, that's being pretty important, you see. So old Satan comes along and says, you're a nobody. You ever been there? Just want to ask you, have you ever had old Satan just say, you're a nobody, you're no count? Well, you know, it's a funny thing. Shield of faith. And they shall be called the sons of God. Heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're going to tell me I'm a nobody when I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Boink. Amen? Shield of faith. See, there's that old fiery dart telling you you're no good, and you're a nobody. Well, God thinks you are. Cared enough to die for you, didn't he? Yeah. See, shield of faith, you see. Yep. God's turned his back on you. I mean, you messed up. God's turned his back on you. You're no count. I mean, you might as well forget it. He has turned his back. He's walked away from you. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Boink. What do you mean he's turned his back on me? He can't. He can't. He'd be going against his word. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen? Sure. Well, I'm telling you right now, you're going to go under financially. You have goofed, and you're going to go under financially. You're not going to be able to make it. I mean, you are going to, you haven't got enough money to make it next week, and you're just done for. Forget it. Ha. But my God shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Boink. What do you mean I'm going under financially? God said he provided my need. Didn't he? Sure. No, it may not be a millionaire, but
supply your need. Amen? See, that's what happens, you see. And then he says, oh, you can't do anything. You're not only useless, you're untalented. I mean, God can't use you for anything. There's nothing he can use you for. Wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do anything he asks me to do. Amen? Shield of faith. Amen. See, old Satan's good at sending those darts to you. And he says, you've sinned. You've done it now. You're hopelessly done for. I mean, you have really blew it. You have sinned, and now you're done for. Well, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what advocate means? I got a lawyer. Going to stand for me. Amen? Also, he said something else. There's not anything that will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah, but Brother Ross, you know I've sinned. I'm nothing be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I didn't say it was good that you sinned. I said nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What should we do with that sin? We should confess it and turn from it. And he'll cleanse us and wash us from all unrighteousness. Right? Amen? Right. You see, that was Satan sends those darts, and then he says, oh, everything is going wrong in life. Have you ever been there when one day or maybe 2 days or a week go by and you think the whole world is absolutely gone haywire and it's all at you? I don't know whether you've been there or not, but I want to tell you something. Some days it feels like that the whole world has just gone haywire. And I mean, everything you do goes wrong. Everything comes at you. And then we lift up that shield of faith and say, but all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. All things, even those bad things that went wrong. Shield of faith. Boom. It's a fiery dart. See, he's trying to soften you up. He's trying to hurt you. He's trying to get you to feel like a dog when you're a son of God. But you say, I've got a sickness, Brother Ross. I don't know what to do about it. It's a bad sickness. It looks bad for me. Well, God said, call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Brother Charles, did you get anointed? What in the world are you sitting here for tonight? Why are you doing so well? Brother Charles came, wanted to be anointed with oil. We prayed for him. Deacons and myself prayed for him. Pastor Jerry prayed for him. Went to the hospital, come out. But you know we've still got God in the picture. You say, but Brother Ross, what if I die? What a tragedy. Paul said to be with Christ is much better. Now, I'm not saying you want to die. I'm not saying you're ready to give it up. But I'm saying if you do, Paul said it's much better. I mean, amen? To be with him is much better. But at the same time, we have the promises of God with that old shield of faith. Satan, you can't do this to me. I'm not going to take those fiery darts. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to stand on the promises of God's word. See, it's my faith. My faith is not in me. My faith is in God. See, he's the object of my faith. It was interesting what God told Abraham. He said, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. God says, I'll shield you. I'm your shield. Amen. Is God your shield? Sure. Sure he is. Look at Romans 8. Well, I think we're in Romans, but look at chapter 8, verse 31. Now, just listen to this. You remember in verse 28? Well, let's go up to verse 28, chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now listen. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Folks, you just can't beat that. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who's greater than God? None. Listen to what he says. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, all how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You remember what he done for us? Offered up his son for us? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that done the justifying. God justified us. How can anybody lay anything to a charge of his elect or his children? And then he simply says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God who also maketh intercession for us? Where's Christ at right now? Right hand of the Father. What's he doing? Making intercession. Who for? His children. We're not very important, are we? Amen? We're just not very important. I mean, we all hang our heads and just walk around with our heads hung. Here's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for us, was buried, rose again, went to the cross there for us, died for us, now sits in the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Now, listen to this, and I'll close. Did you know that the Word, which is Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us? Did you know the Word is God? Did you know He, God the Son, was made flesh and dwelt among us? Did you know that He was tempted of the devil? That the devil threw every fiery dart he had in his arsenal at him? Did you know Satan pulled out all of his reserves? Absolutely everything he had, he threw at the Son of God, and the Son of God defeated him and condemned him to a devil's hell forever and ever and ever. And now that Son of God now sits at the right hand of God with all power, interceding for you and I. Put that shield of faith up there. Apply quickly what you believe. Do you believe truly that God thinks you're a dirty dog? Do you think He thinks you're no good? Do you think He thinks you're worthless? No count? Do you really think that? You know better. But old Satan sends those darts. Fiery. He's softening you up. When he gets you softened up, he's going to send the real charge after you. Roaring lion. Amen. I'm just saying, folks, you don't have to take it. You have a God that loves you. Not the one sitting beside you. He does. But he loves you. Very, very much. So much he died for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the wonderful love of God. Thank you for your truth of your word. And Lord, help us to pick up that shield of faith. And Lord, ward off those old fiery darts of the wicked, which, Lord, gets us all discouraged and hurt and in turmoil. And Father, just help us to keep our minds upon the true and good things, the good report, the honest things. Lord, for we know we have a great God who loves us. Proved it on Calvary. Now, Father, help us as we go forward in the battle here in our Christian life. Lord, we need your whole armor. Help us to take it up and put it on. In Jesus' name, amen.